I would invite you to turn in your Bibles this evening, again to the book of Judges. This evening, Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 is the psalm or song that Deborah and Barak sang in response to the mighty deliverance of God out of the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, and his general Sisera at the hands of Jael, even as she drove a tent peg through his head, and Barak and the mighty forces of Israel routed the Canaanite army. Listen, as I read from God's Word, Judges chapter 5, I'll read the chapter in its entirety. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, "When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai, before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anoth, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased, it ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates, not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, and who walk along the road far from the noise of the archers among the watering places. There they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villagers. In Israel, then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam." Then the survivors came down, the people, against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty from Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your peoples from Machir, rulers came down, and from Zebulun those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command among the divisions of Reuben. There were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of the heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. That ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horse's hooves pounded, the galloping of his steeds. Curse Meraz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank. He fell. He lay still. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming?" Why tarries the clatter of his chariots? Her wisest ladies answered her, yes, she answered herself. Are they not finding and dividing the spoil to every man a girl or two? For Sisera, plunder of dyed garments, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed. 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Thus, let all your enemies perish, O Lord. But let those who love him be like the sun. When it comes out in full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. This far the reading of God's word, let me pray now for the blessing, the preaching of it. Lord, we are grateful. And we acknowledge that you are a God who fights for his people. Oh Lord, may we be a people who recount your mighty deeds from one generation to the next. May we recall, remember, rejoice, sing what you have done. Not only through the judges of old, to the kings of Israel, to the prophets, to the mighty warriors, the sending of your Son, and the building of his kingdom, and the faithful exploits and high adventures of those who continue to bear faithfully your name. Lord, may your blessings be upon those, even this day, who fight the good fight, who wield the sword, who do not relinquish the faith, even in the face of persecution and death. O Lord, continue to write then a legacy, a song of the exploits of the saints that shall be sung throughout all eternity. O Lord, may our names and our exploits be numbered among them. This we pray in your name. Amen. Tonight we have a simple song, a glorious song that recounts the exploits and mighty deeds of Israel when they walked faithfully with their God. And there are many songs like this in the scriptures. Some are expressly a reflection of God's unilateral deliverance. When Miriam began to sing of God's parting of the waters of the Red Sea, and that mighty miraculous act where God brought Israel across the dry land and then overwhelmed the nation of Egypt and the army of Egypt in the flood as the waves crashed around them. Certainly something to remember. And if there is ever a way to apply something to memory, it is not merely to write it, but to write it in such a way that it rhymes. So I know this does not rhyme. It's because it's not in its original language. And then to sing it. In fact, this is one of the great qualifications for any of the great hymns. And it is itself a reminiscent of many of the psalms that we sing. We sang a psalm like that, Psalm 103. We sang a psalm like that tonight, Psalm 67. And I thought, man, I wish I could just preach that one on the fly tonight. Psalm 67 is a psalm of God's purposes to bring about his glory to the utter ends of the earth. But the way God does that is battle by battle. And one day we will gather around in the new heavens and the new earth when they are fully realized and we are in our glorified bodies and we can all match perfect pitch in harmony. I don't know how many parts of harmony there will be in the new heavens and the new earth. But we will sing our harmonious song of praise, recounting the mighty deeds of God. And those things continue to this day. And these are the stories that faithfulness tells. These are the stories that those who are part of and used by God to bring about deliverance and victory, we get to sing. It is those who fight for the Lord, on behalf of the Lord, in obedience to the Lord, that get to glory in that victory. 2 points that I want to make tonight. The story that faithfulness tells. The story that faithfulness tells, and then last or second, A song of redemption, past, present, and future. A song of redemption, past, present, and future. Let's look at this first point, the story that faithfulness tells. Now, there are two kinds of faithfulness that we find here in this song. There is the continued merciful faithfulness of God that even when His people have rebelled from Him, when they cry out to Him, He brings them deliverance. And the way that He does that is He uses means. He uses the means in the book of Judges by raising up a judge or a deliverer. Here, that matriarch, the mother, as she calls herself in verse 7, a mother in Israel is Deborah. Deborah sat in judgment of Israel and brought order where there was chaos. She brought life. Look at verse 7. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Why? Because there was conflict and chaos. And in wisdom and instruction, Deborah spoke the word of God and brought about order first in the land, which led to their crying out to be delivered out from under the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. But in order to sing, we must have a song. We find in verse 2 and in verse 9, the motivation, the inspiration for that song. Look at verse 2. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Look at verse 9. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. What is the state that describes God's renewed mercy? When there are leaders who lead and there are people who willingly offer themselves to God. That is the measure of genuine repentance and reformation. When leaders lead, when people willingly offer themselves to the Lord, this is an occasion to sing, to praise God. We sing when we understand rightly the mercies of God. We sing when we've lived well. Fulfilling your God-given call to lead the people of God in obedience and to follow God's appointed leaders in faithfulness is reason to bless the name of the Lord. And God has given them that reason. And not only that, but look at verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. Which kings and which princes? Well, not the kings of Israel. There are no kings and there are no princes. There are leaders of tribes who function sort of like princes, but there was a judge. Israel is singing, as it were, loud enough to bring about a call to the kings of earth to sing praises to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Worship is itself evangelistic. When I say evangelistic, worship is meant to be used as a weapon against the false idols of the world. We sing, we live, we worship in such a way that God shows Himself real in the blessing of His people. Verse 4 and 5. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water, the mountains gushed before the Lord. All of the earth is in harmony in reflecting the sovereign mercy, kindness, and lordship of the Messiah. If we do not understand this, we don't have a song to sing. The people who sing loudest then are those who understand most clearly, most personally, most deeply what God has done for His people. And what we find here is a chronicle of God's faithfulness. His heart is with Israel. His heart is for those who love to do His will. And God provides. This is the story that faithfulness tells. Now, that story is throughout the book of Judges chapter 5. And really, the whole of Scripture is a story that faithfulness tells. The faithfulness of God. And it is the story of those who are faithful to God. There was no life in Israel. They had chosen new gods. Look at verse 8. They chose new gods. There was war. Why? Because they lived in rebellion against God. And not only that, as it relates to a religious war, due to the fact that they had been conquered by another nation, there was not a shield or spear among 40,000. They were completely and utterly disarmed. In order for any great power to subjugate a people, it is necessary that they have no means to help themselves. This ought to be a lesson for us even in our day. Do not find yourself disarmed, either as it relates to the sword. But much of Israel was disarmed as it was, well, we see in chapter 2, verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. They were disarmed in relationship to their understanding of God's mighty deeds. They were, body and soul, a completely captured people. But God would deliver. And that leads me then to my second point. A song of redemption, past, present, and future. Here, Deborah and Barak continue verses 10, 11, and 12. And they call others to sing, to sit in righteous judgment. Awake, awake, verse 12, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. Then look at verse 13 and following. Verses 13 through 18, we see the call go forth and various tribes and others are mentioned. There are those who go down to battle and there are those who remain behind. Then the survivors came down, that is, those in Israel, the survivors of the Canaanite captivity under Jabin, they came down to fight. Now, we know already that whatever weapons they had very few. Ehud fashioned a dagger, his own homemade blade. And Shamgar managed to kill 600 Philistines with what amounted to a stick. And yet God would deliver them. They rose up against the mighty, verse 13, Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, and then Machir, rulers came down from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff. The tribes of Issachar here, princes, means the leaders of the tribes. And then there was Barak. They went to the valley, and then you see Reuben. Reuben sort of wrestled with what to do among the divisions of Reuben. There was great resolves of heart. Why do you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of the heart. What shall we do? And then you see 17 and a portion, well, really 17. Gilead and Dan, Asher, they stayed behind. Asher remained so that they could fish, Dan on the ships. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, making the excuse, perhaps, that they could not cross over that mighty river. There were those who gave themselves even to death, Zebulun and Naphtali. This is a very realistic look at what happens when the call goes out to the church to fight against the enemies of God. There will be those who are eager to fight against the Lord's anointed, to fight against the church. There will be those who struggle, yes, no, deliberate at perhaps too long. And then there will be those who say, no, I've got some fishing to do. Judges is a very realistic portrait of a nation that is captured first by idolatry, then fear. But God would bring mighty deliverance. The events of Deborah show that some go, some stay. But glory belongs to those who take up the call to fight. Some were hesitant to go. Even later, we read of a group of people we're not really familiar with. Verse 23, they don't belong to the nation of Israel. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, but the help of the Lord against the mighty. This was a group of people that had some sort of relationship with the children of Israel. And yet, when it was time to help Israel, they would not ride to their aid. There is a thing about redemptive history and songs. Songs not only capture the exploits of the brave, but also the cowardice of those who operate with fear. I remember hearing stories of my own grandfather who began to make sorties into the continent in 1944, flew a B-17 bomber. This was the days when they had really perfected high-altitude bombing. But there were many great stories that I was told. Some of the details were left out as a child. I remember the story where they took off from Italy and they were flying into the continent of Europe, going over the Italian Alps. And as they were approaching, oftentimes these planes would have engine problems. One of their engines went out, which was nothing for these guys. They kept going. They had bombs to drop on munitions factories, after all. And as they were approaching the Alps, another engine went out, which would make it difficult to get over the mountains. And so they decided it'd probably be better to turn back because they couldn't reach the high altitudes with only two engines. And after they turned around, they were headed back to the runway in southern Italy. The third engine dropped out. And they began to drop the bombs. They would not activate them until they got near the bomb drop, that target area. And so they dropped the bombs. They were basically inert. And they began to, even with a saw, cut the ball turret out of the bottom of this bomber because they had to shave weight in order to get home because they were just dropping altitude the closer they got to the runway. And as they were approaching the runway, they touched down. And as they, the moment the front wheels touched the runway, the fourth engine went out. Interesting stories like that as a child. You go, oh, I cannot imagine such a thing. The pictures, the stories, high drama, the exploits of brave pilots and soldiers. These are not the stories that we often grow up with in our day. We don't know many. Perhaps we know some who've gone to battle, and there is great courage. There is a softness that has crept into the church. There is a beauty, granted. There is a privilege given to those who do not have to fight so hard for their corner in society. And yet I wonder what the consequence of that is. Christ says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. What is there to mourn if we are not fighting for the sake of the kingdom of Christ? What you will find in this song in particular is an immense amount of detail. Now, for those whose hearts are not in it, the details feel like just padding, right? Let's just get through the song. Sometimes, children, maybe you have this response to the psalms that we sing. Psalm 103C is 8 verses. When will this psalm end? Even it's a rollicking sort of tune as far as the OPC goes. When will it end? But then you begin to look at the language of it. And perhaps you have some investment in the kingdom. And you realize every detail matters. Perhaps, children, even in corporate prayer, when you gather and the men are overly long in offering prayers to the Lord, it feels. When will this guy pass it to the next guy? Children, you're not the only ones that wonder. I understand that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to what they say and to understand that whatever that person is praying for, is an expression of trust and allegiance, whatever is on his heart, as it were, on his mind, and all of those details matter. It matters to him. As Deborah is singing, she is singing about every detail that matters. And for those who have received deliverance, verse 27, at her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. I think I get the image. Detail after detail after detail. But every time that line, that refrain, you're like, yes. Those details matter for those whose hearts are wrapped up in the conquering of Christ over his enemies. And history is full of this. The glorious stories of God's detailed deliverances, the pounding of the hooves, the galloping and the galloping of the steeds, all of these elements bring a sort of heat to your heart, tears to your eyes, because they are a record of God's fighting for his people, and they are your history. They are our history. And when we see that the song of Deborah is the song of the church of the 21st century, it is our song. These are our people. And when we are those who are in the midst of the battle, we long to see our names there. We want to be part of the throng. These songs are not only meant to chronicle, they are to inspire, yes, even convict. Is this not what the martyrdom of the early church, the hands of Rome, when those saints offered themselves willingly, even singing all the way to the grave, to their deaths? And there were those, perhaps in the Colosseum, those who watched as they suffered at the hands of that wicked empire. How many hearts were moved to confess Christ as Lord? Christ is mighty among his people. Unto this end, let's look here at the very end, verses 24 through 27, in contrast to verses 28 through 30. Here we see a record of two different women. Jael, who is of the seed of the woman, in that she is righteous. She is not of the line of the Messiah, but she or she is described as most blessed among women is Jael. Blessed is she among women in tents. Just to get very specific, a kind of nomad of sorts, but her husband, who was at least made an alliance with the enemies of Israel, she believed. She was faithful to Yahweh. We know the story from last week. Sisera ran from the conflict. He alighted from his chariot and went to the tent of Heber because he knew he had an ally there. And Jael invites him in. Sisera asks for water and she gave him heavy milk with lots of fat. In order to do what? To draw him into a state, a stuporous, sleepy state. And he said to her, remember from Judges 4, if anyone comes asking for me, tell them I'm not here. It doesn't matter, because Jael is there. And as he sleeps in the sand, she takes the hammer that would have been used to shift the stakes that were used to set up the tent, and she takes one of those stakes and drives it through his head. Right? She split and struck through his temple. Can you think? I mean, imagine being a boy in Israel in that time. Yes! And then Barak comes in later and discovers that God had indeed done what he said he would through his prophet Deborah, that he would give Sisera in the hands of a woman. But then there is the mother of Sisera. And she's looking out through the window for her son, the wicked commander of a pagan nation. And she's wondering, why does he not return? He will never come back. Her ladies-in-waiting assure her he's simply dividing the spoils. And then it just ends. It's like we're left waiting with the mother of Sisera, except we know what just happened. Jael, a simple, humble woman. God brings lots of deliverance. And that image of the tent is throughout the scriptures. Isaiah 54 speaks of, pull up the stakes of the tent and spread it out. The mighty deliverance of the tents we read of in Zechariah chapter 12. The mother of Sisera, though she was a mother of a great warrior, she is unnamed because their names do not matter. It is the end of a line, of a purpose, of a glory, of a hope. Her family's name has passed away into nothing. Why? Because of which side he fights for. One day there will be a long song sung in heaven. And all of the history of the church from the resurrection of Christ until whenever he returns will be sung. And I want you to listen for your names. The mighty exploits of Reformation OPC. The paving of a parking lot. Maybe even the refurbishing of a downstairs fellowship hall. And how many gathered to remit from sewage damage. All of these things. Details matter. Why? Because all the actions we do in service of Christ matter. And when we do them for his glory, we learn to sing the song of his deliverance. And then there is the end. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. What is the path to covenant succession? That is the challenge, isn't it, that we find in Judges? What is the path? It is to sing the song of God's deliverance among those who have not seen it as we have. It is to reflect upon his mercy, his faithfulness to us, and to call the next generation to be faithful. Our hearts ought be filled not with the poison of selfish pride. Look at what we have done. But instead what? Look at what God has done through us. And recount the mighty deeds. Mightier deeds may come. There may be time for moments of even greater courage than you have ever expressed in your life. But to what end? To the rise of the kingdom of Christ, to the dawning of the sun, and the glorious warmth and light that come through his presence. That is the future that awaits those who put their trust in him. Let's pray. Lord.